Today we have Kate Newman coming to teach. Let me pray for you. Holy Spirit, we ask you to come. We are desperate to hear from you. Every day, but specifically now, and we want to understand the scriptures better. So I ask that you'll bless Kate. Thank you for what she's given, what you've given her to share. And I pray that these words will land and take root in our hearts. Will you give her your peace as she speaks? Amen.
Amen. So the parable that we're going to look at this morning is very short. In fact, it's only two sentences long, which is a little bit short. How are you going to talk for 25 minutes on two sentences in the Bible, I hear you ask? Well, within these two sentences are little gems that I'd like to explore with you this morning. So, here it is. Matthew chapter 13, verse 44. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. I'm just going to read it again because it's super short. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. So I know it's really cheesy, but I've done a little itty-bitty treasure hunt. So you've got 2 minutes. Oh, look at the faces. That's so funny. Ooh. We're going to go for 2 minutes. Go and find 8 little bits of treasure I have hidden around the room. There you go, Sam. Lead the way. 2 minutes. That was less than 2 minutes. Fantastic. I find it really interesting how we reacted to that. Did you sit in your seats thinking, ugh, I wish I was still at home? Someone just invited me and now I wish I was reading the paper at home. Did you just watch and observe? Did you think, I might join in, but I'm just going to see what the treasure is first, and then I'll see if I can be bothered to get out of my seat? Or did you just go for it? I'm there. When I was studying for my French A-levels, I had to spend a big chunk of my time as part of my French literature course studying the Impressionists. And one of the artists that I enjoyed studying was a chap called James Tissot. Has anybody heard of him? No. Okay. Well, at the age of about 28, Tissot had... Alison has. Of course she has. Tissot had a spiritual encounter at about the age of 28, rather like the man finding the treasure hidden in the field that we're talking about this morning. And the experience compelled him to find out more about God, and it resulted in spending the rest of his life and the latter part of his career producing a series of about 700 watercolours just dedicated to the life of Jesus. So here's his painting of the parable we're looking at this morning. And I love it because I think it just brilliantly shows us an image of what Jesus was trying to describe. The parable and the painting introduce us to a man who wasn't very rich. And we can assume this because of his great excitement in stumbling across the treasure. A rich man might have been quite pleased, but it would have just, you know, added to what he had already. This man might have been a hired laborer who stumbled upon a jar filled with gold or silver coins, perhaps jewels, and then left the treasure where he found it because he had no rights to it. Had he been a dishonorable man, he could have simply taken it right there and then, but there were laws those days in Palestine that governed the discovery of such riches. One law said that if a workman came across such treasure, it would become the property of his master, that is, the owner of the field. However, the man was careful not to take the treasure, and he told no one about it. Instead, he sold everything he owned and bought the field himself. He didn't want the field as much as the treasure, but being the legal owner was the only way to get it. The treasure was worth far more than the field ever was. So why is Jesus telling us this parable? Well, I think he's telling us because he wants to show people how valuable the kingdom is. And he wants to make the point that the kingdom is worth getting hold of. It's worth giving everything for. I'm just going to say that again because that's a really important bit. I think he's telling us because he wants to show people how valuable the kingdom is. And he wants to make the point that the kingdom is worth getting hold of. It's worth giving everything for. So how do we understand the kingdom of God? Well, I wanted to do a bit of research as to what people understood by the word kingdom. So I thought I'd pop along to Sainsbury's this week and figure out what people in Sainsbury's understood by the word kingdom. So I often talk to Simon, you know, the trolley man. He knows everything about cars. If ever you want to know anything about cars, ask Simon. He's your man. And I said to him, Simon, when I talk to you about the word kingdom, what kind of things come into your mind? And he goes, greatness. Oh, cool. So then I thought I'd check out Gok Wan's latest clothing spring-summer collection in Sainsbury. So I walked in and I was talking to the lady there and I said, what words come to mind when I talk to you about the word kingdom? What do you think of? And she went, fairy tales. And then I went to the hot chicken counter and I asked the two ladies there. And what did they say? One of them said the word kingdom made her think of the world. And the other lady said that she thought of glory. I then went to the bakery and asked the lady there. And she said it reminded her of realms. And then I went to pay for all these purchases. And I was standing next to an elderly man in the queue. And I was saying to him, you know, when I say the word kingdom to you, what kind of words just come to mind? And he goes, he didn't give me an answer because he thought I'd been employed by Sainsbury's to make his shopping experience more interesting. Oh, funny. So how do we explain the kingdom? Well, I believe the kingdom is where the king rules and reigns, and it's worth giving everything for. I believe the kingdom is where the king rules and reigns, and is worth giving everything for. The kingdom challenges with our minds and it messes with our heads. It surprises us and it shocks us. Sometimes we find that when people encounter the kingdom, they don't understand it. And so their reaction is to run away or avoid it because it's too much. I clearly remember a friend of mine who visited the Vineyard here maybe about 2 years ago. She said that something clearly happened to her in worship. When everyone started to sing, she found herself crying and moved, and she didn't know how to handle it. She'd never experienced anything like that before, and she didn't know how to react. That's the kingdom. When God comes and meets with us, the kingdom comes with love and acceptance when we sing simple songs to God. I first started to understand the kingdom about 12 years ago. I was a just married 24-year-old who followed Jesus, was part of a local church, but never understood anything about the Holy Spirit or the kingdom of God. And I was eager to find out what all that was about. So we were helping to lead a kids' camp in Derbyshire. And one night, I asked God to show me his power. All I'd heard and read about the kingdom of God said to me that it wasn't just for leaders. It was for everyone, and I was just hungry to find out more. So I waited there that night, and I waited for God to show me his power, to do something dramatic, to show me, you know, whatever he wanted to show me. And I remember the dialogue I had with God. It went something along the lines of, okay, you can now knock me over. And then that didn't happen. And then I went, okay, you can now make me speak in a different language. And that didn't happen either. Little did I know that there was no way God was going to listen to how I should tell him how to show me his power. He was going to do whatever he wanted to do. And I went upstairs and went into our room, and I was suddenly aware of God being in the room with me. I can't really explain it, but and I'm not sure how it happened, but the next thing was that I was flat on my face and unable to move. It wasn't that I was paralyzed or anything. It was just that I was so in awe of this, of God, this presence being in the room with me, that I didn't dare move or look up. For hours, I was there, sobbing on my face, acutely aware of God's power and yet incredibly safe. In between all my crying, all I could say was two words, sorry and thank you. When God's kingdom came that night, I was acutely aware of my failings and yet acutely aware of his grace and acceptance. That time was so significant for me. I had to find a place where I learned about what just happened to me. I wanted to understand more, and so we actively went looking for a church that would teach me about the kingdom. And hence we found the Vineyard a few weeks later. So just like my friend who cried in worship, and just like me on that evening, and many times since, the kingdom bypasses our normal way of understanding and operating, and sometimes we just can't contain ourselves. So the kingdom is everywhere. Jesus does not just rule and reign at Ralph Thoresby here on Sundays. You know that, don't you? His kingdom comes when you are driving on your way to work and you commit the day to God. His kingdom comes when you're washing up and God reveals something to you. His kingdom comes when you're going to catch the bus home from work and you stop to buy the big issue seller a cup of coffee. We can't keep the kingdom to ourselves. It reminds me a bit of manna from heaven. When the people of Israel were escaping from Egypt, they relied on God for everything. And then God sent this flaky bread called manna to feed them. But they were only allowed to take a little bit, enough for the day. They couldn't keep hold of it. They had to share it with their whole household and beyond. And I think it's the same with the kingdom. We love to receive from God, and yet we love to give it away. There's such joy in sharing it with people. At our house, there's quite a wide stream at the bottom of the garden with a public footpath on the other side where people walk on in the middle of summer. And last summer, a group of about 8 young people stopped and were playing in the stream at the bottom of our garden. They were making loads of noise, had a bit of a barbecue going on, covered in piercings and tattoos. And I went down that thing of feeling a little bit intimidated. And then I thought, Kate, get a grip. And so instead, I went to the freezer, got all the ice creams I could get out of the freezer, and I went down to give them to them. And I would do the same thing again. It was such fun because you could tell when they saw me approaching them that they thought I was going to tell them off and tell them to clear off. But it was a total delight to see that they could see that I was smiling and I was actually bearing gifts as well. So the kingdom breaks down barriers when you share it with people. When we went to Africa last year, we knew it was God calling us to go and serve alongside the team at the HIV clinic at Entlin Jenny. I had a strong sense it was the Lord, and we knew that when they were going, there were risks for our own children, but we could plan for those. And the joy that came from running the soccer school there was overwhelming, and seeing the Lord just move in so many ways was beautiful. There was one man called Patrick. You might have heard us talk about him before. He used to arrive every morning with his empty flask. Patrick was very, very poor, but he loved the Lord and knew it was what it was he could do to serve King Jesus. So every morning he'd arrive with his flask, with tea, and walk to see the people who had HIV and were too poorly to go out. He'd pour them a cup of tea and he'd pray with them. We also came across a boy called Sammy. He was 11 and was severely disabled, so most of his life was spent in bed. And when we met him, he hadn't been washed for a long, long time, and he smelt really bad. We brought food and prayed for him and the family, and Alex and Karen later went back to see him, and they actually gave him a bath and dressed him in clean clothes. It's not about Patrick or Alex or Karen. It's about their desire to see the kingdom come in that place and in the lives of the people who live there. The king is calling. The king calls us and beckons us in. He calls us to get involved with what he's doing in the kingdom. Gwen and Jason Proctor feel called to a place in East Leeds called Osmanthorpe. They've prayed and asked God to intervene there for many years, and they're seeing God's kingdom come in so many ways. For example, on Valentine's Day, their house group gave away 72 individual roses to the locals there, just to show God's love for people. And Gwen has had the joy of introducing people to Jesus for the first time. They're also showing God's love to people there through decorating projects. Many people who live in Osmondthorpe are financially less well off. They've got higher crime rates and social problems than other areas in Leeds, but God loves them just the same as he loves me and you. A calling sometimes feels like a burden. It doesn't come to special people alone. It comes to anyone who longs for it and seeks for it. If you want to go and see what a calling looks like, join the Proctor's House group. Share the burden and the joy of the kingdom. The king calls sometimes when we least expect it. One of my favorite passages in the Bible is from Acts 8, when Philip meets an Ethiopian man, reading the scriptures and just pondering over what they mean. It just so happened that God had put Philip in just the right place at the right time to explain what the scriptures meant and to show the Ethiopian the next part of the story. It's a wonderful account, and I'd recommend you read it to see how God can call you at any time. A few of us were in Cafe Nero a few weeks ago, just having a coffee, being available to God to see if he wanted to speak to anybody there. Sometimes we have a coffee and nothing much happens, and it's a nice coffee. Sometimes God speaks and we get to share what he has to say with people. Sometimes we get to pray for them. All sorts of things can happen. The king calls us whenever he wants to, and our job is just to be available. The king gives us authority. If you read on a bit in Matthew from the parable of the hidden treasure, you will read Jesus saying these words in chapter 16. I will give you the keys of the kingdom. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Dallas Willard, one of my favorite authors, says, get my keys ready. Not enjoying the kingdom and accessing it is like a man who had a house but carefully kept his doors locked and the keys in his hand, but he never went into the house. Having access to the kingdom and living in it is what matters. Are you holding the keys, but you're not using them? John Wimber, who founded the Vineyard Movement, said, we have been given the keys to the kingdom, the authority and power over the enemy. But if we don't exercise that power, it's of no use. The kingdom of darkness is organized to distract us from doing God's bidding. Satan diverts our attention from the kingdom of God. We have the keys to the kingdom, and it's through Jesus that we can access that kingdom. The king controls the outcome. Sometimes we're frustrated when we turn on the news, we see, we look around us, there's stories of injustice, famine, war, and it's so frustrating. But we are called to be a light in the face of evil and sadness. So we pray for people to be healed and they might not get better. And it's frustrating. Sometimes you pray for someone and they're amazingly healed and then they have no desire to just now get to know the person who just healed them. And it's frustrating. But even Jesus experiences the frustration. The Bible records Jesus healing 10 lepers, and yet only one comes back and bows before him. The kingdom can be sometimes frustrating when things don't turn out as we would like. But God the King controls the outcome, not us. Finally, the king invites us. The king carries an invitation because his kingdom is available to everyone. I'd like you to ask yourself the question, do I offer people an invitation to be involved so that they can see what the kingdom is like? In our house groups, do we offer people the chance to learn, to pray for the sick, to make mistakes, to practice having words of knowledge? Do we share life with our friends and neighbors? Again, John Wimber said, everyone gets to play. If we create places where only a few can participate, we've missed the call of the kingdom. I remember going to my first Vineyard conference down in London in a place called Acton. It was a conference called Doing the Stuff. And it feels like a long time ago. It was a typical conference with speakers, worship, and so on. But my highlight was when we all got to pray for each other. I absolutely loved it. Mainly because there was an invitation to watch, to learn, to practice, to fail, to ask questions. And when people were going forward for prayer, Ben and I would be just right next to them. We'd be like in their face going, what are you doing? Why are you doing that? Why do you raise your hands in the air when you worship? That's weird. Why do you keep your eyes open when you're praying for somebody? Why do you, why, all the time? So many questions. And then we started to have a go ourselves. And I started asking God to give me pictures and words, and he did. And it was exhilarating as we saw the kingdom come. And God would come and we would see people healed of past experiences of pain, of physical illnesses. At the National Leaders Conference just a few weeks ago in January, we were just the same there, experiencing new things of the kingdom. And never think that you know everything. There's always new things to learn about the kingdom of God. And the invitation to be involved is there for everyone. So to summarize, the kingdom is everywhere. The kingdom is not restricted to Sunday mornings, to Leeds. There's a joy with sharing his kingdom with other people. The king is calling. He's calling us and he's beckoning us in. The king gives us authority. He's given us the keys to the kingdom. Are you holding the keys, but you're not using them? The king controls the outcomes. Even when stuff doesn't go how we planned, it's not up to us to decide the outcomes. And the king invites us. He wants you to be involved. The one who rules and reigns assures you that it's worth it. It's so worth being involved in what he's doing. So when I was preparing this, I felt that the Lord showed me three things. I'm just going to share those with you, and then maybe I could pray for you. Firstly, if you haven't discovered the precious treasure like this man does in the parable, God is just showing you a little glimpse of what's on offer. It's for free this morning. And if you don't know Jesus yet, I'd just encourage you to take a step to get to know what the kingdom of God is like and what the king is like. Secondly, I felt God showed me a picture when I was preparing this of when my son Sam was playing hockey the other day. He was warming up for a match and I was hitting a few balls to him. And I could feel that, you know, that pre-match excitement. And I so wanted to get on the hockey pitch and play, but I couldn't. And it just felt like there's people here who have got that, you know, you sporty people, you know, that kind of pre-match, oh, I just want to get on and do it. I want to get on and play. And you haven't done that in a while. You want to get involved in what the kingdom is like and what the king's up to. And you just want to get on and play. I think God's encouraging you to do that this morning. And thirdly, I think the Lord wants to put his hand on what you're doing already. I think he wants to come and bless your ministries and bless the works of your hand, of what you're doing already. And I think he wants us to pray for his favor to rest on what you're doing already. So should I just pray those things over you and we'll see what God wants to do. So if you're like the precious treasure, the man looking for precious treasure, and you haven't yet found that treasure, Father, if there's somebody here or a few people here who are like that, would you just get their heart beating faster this morning and let them know that that is you, King Jesus, who is calling them? And then if you're like like my son Sam, who's just itching to get on the hockey pitch and play, Father, if there are people here who are just itching to get back and do the stuff of the kingdom, to pray for the sick, to cast out demons, to do whatever it is that you're asking them to do. Father, would you come and just encourage them, show them what it is that you're doing, get them involved again. And I just want to thirdly pray that you would bless what your people are doing already. Would you bless the work of their hands? Would they see you at work in all that they're doing? Would you increase the sense of adventure and excitement in their lives and in their ministries and in their neighbours? We just thank you for that, Lord. Amen.